We've been singing about it, Father, that you are glorious. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And this is what we want to do this afternoon as well, Father, that we are together over here as your children, to become quiet and to listen to your voice and to experience something of that glory. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open to receive from you. And whatever wants to distract us, that we can cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can bind it, that we can focus on you, Father, that we can hear from you. Thank you that we can glorify you. All the glory to you, in Jesus' name. The last 2 weeks was about rejoicing. And I'm going to ask if there's anybody who has got a testimony which says, yes, I practiced it a little bit and I experienced something changed. Was it that you were in certain situations that you said, and now I want to get angry, and then you said, no, wait, I've got to rejoice, and then I rejoiced, and then I handled the situation like that. Is there anyone who wants to share? Then 1, 2. Okay, who else? 3. Okay, let's just wait.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, the last couple of weeks, I think, the enemy really tried to steal my joy. And then this week, I just, I think it was Monday morning on my way to work from the bus stop, I was just like, I'm taking authority over every lie and I'm not allowing the enemy to steal my joy anymore. And I just told it to go, and it was actually easy. It wasn't like rocket science, and it was so cool how God just restored my joy, and it, like, I actually felt like myself again. And it's been coming along for like 6 weeks that I've just been feeling really drained, and I just really felt it lift. Yeah, when I made that choice and I took authority. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Yes, I also were like the last 6 weeks, this lately, just the kids are like so draining my happiness that they're just like the whole time, I'm just going to be happy. And then it's like, again. And then this week, starting Monday, it was just immediately when the one, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. And then he's like, where's this? And he's just like all, and the beginning of the day. And then I go to him, well, I'm just going to be happy. You're not going to make me sad. Although you didn't listen to me, that's your problem. It's not, I'm not going to be sad because you're sad. I'm not going to be angry and you're not going to take my happiness away. And I was just like sharing with him the whole time, like, you need to be happy and not let your, because it's not me winning if you're going to decide to be happy. It's God who's winning because he's happy up there if you're happy. And then the whole week I was just like, every time when they do something, when they let fall something, make a mess, then I'm just going singing the whole time, and I were putting my music on the whole time, and then I just sing, and then they're just like, what is she doing? And they're just looking. And the mom also, the one time she was coming in the house and she was listening and everything, and then she was like, what is this music? And she sings, and then all of a sudden something like, and it was like God. And then she was like, Amis, did you put the music on? I'm like, yes, doesn't it make you happy? And she was like, yeah, we're actually happy. So yeah, this week I were totally just happy the whole time. Never the kids took my happiness away. So yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, last Monday I was on my way to drop off Eloise at school, and it was my third Monday at my new job. And the 2 weeks before, every time I had to first bring Eloise to school, I would then miss my train by like 2 minutes. So that Monday, I finally had it. Like, I had a tight schedule. Eloise was in school in time. I had plenty of time to walk from school to the train station. I was even early at the train station, and then my train was delayed by 10 minutes. And at that moment, I started to feel so frustrated, like, no, what did I do wrong? And I'm like, no, I need to rejoice. At least it's not raining. So I just stood there like, it's not raining. So, yeah. But it was good, so, because it made me focus on something good.
Yeah.
I've shared in, I think, a small group a few times that I've been struggling with bad dreams. And then last week when Darkan mentioned how praise just brings back our focus and it, yeah, like then the devil can't come and steal it easily. And so I don't have such a cool speaker at home to play music on the whole time. But at least my husband can sing well. So every night before you go to bed, we started singing a praise song. And yeah, the few nights before that, like, as I'm falling asleep, like, they would come a snake at me, flying at me and trying to get me. So it's obviously demonic and the devil trying to attack me. And then, yeah, since we started doing that, yeah, it's gone. And I'm sleeping so well. Yeah.
It's awesome to get those type of testimonies. And, yeah, it's actually to give God glory, that He's using us, that we can help each other, and that we can benefit from what God has got for us. And yeah, today it's going to go about glory. And I'm going to ask you to do something now. I think we maybe have got to make it one group, a group of three. Go and sit next to each other and give an honest compliment to the other person. An honest compliment to the other person. If you don't know too much about that person, then just compliment that person that the person is here this afternoon and not watching a movie or soccer or tennis or anything like that. But just share a compliment with each other. 2-2, or otherwise just make it a group of three somewhere. Seems to me we've finished with it. Have you seen what happens when you gave that compliment? The other person started smiling. The other person was feeling happy about that compliment which was given. Because you spoke an honest compliment to that other person. It was coming out of your heart. You were honoring that person. You were giving glory to that person. And that's what we're going to have a look this afternoon at, about glory. The first verse what I would like to read is the one out of Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, verses 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. But his words, glory and honor, what we can see in this verse, are used in the Bible quite often. They are substitutes, what they are used, but they do not exactly mean the same. There's a slight difference between the two. The honor originates in our hearts in the reverse to the value what we place in that person. If I can try to explain it, the difference between the two. And we honor God because we are demonstrating the high regard what we've got for God, what we've got for Him. But if we're doing with glory, glory is a quality which is inherent in the one being glorified. So glory is a little bit, I nearly would say it's different, where honor is something what the person is doing, and glorifying is, it's part of it. It is part of that person. And maybe it's not really that clear. Don't worry about it. For me, it was also a little bit of a gray area. And I'm going to try and explain this afternoon the word glory, what it actually means. And it's difficult. It's not something which can easily be explained. If you ask me to explain a word like a soccer ball, then I can explain it to you. It's a rubber ball with a little bit of air in it, and it bumps, and you can kick it, and those type of things. It's easy. If you ask me to explain to the word beauty, for instance, it's difficult for me. And I can maybe show a flower and say, okay, that's beautiful, or my wife is beautiful, yes. And so then I can explain the word a little bit different, because there's not really synonyms what we can give for that word beauty. You've got to show it to the person. And that is with a word of glory as well. It's not a word which is easy to explain. We've got, of course, got the word glory, glorify, glorious, but it's all the same. It's all coming from that word glory. And then we basically have got two glories. We've got the glory of man, but that's only for a season. And then we've got the glory for God, and that's eternal glory. That is glory which is never going to end. If we take a look at the Bible, then we will see that there are two words which are used in the Old and in the New Testament for the words glory. In the Old Testament, they use the word kabod, which means glorious, gloriously, glory, honorable, honor. And that word is consistent in the Old Testament. You will each and every time find that explanation for the word glory when you see it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament is the word doxa. Doxa is not an unknown word. We have maybe heard it before. There's a church group in South Africa which is Doxa Deo, which explains glory to God. And that has got a little bit more in it because it's got dignity, glory, glorious, honor, praise, and worship. So that is all included in that Greek word doxa. So those are the two words if we would look into the Bible and see what the word glory actually means. Like I just now said, the glory of man is only going to be for a season. It's not going to be for eternity. In 1 Peter 1, verse 24 and 25, it says in 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. If we take a look at the grass, we've got grass which is green in summer and in winter. But if we take a look at the flowers of the grass, it's only a short period that you really see flowers on the grass. So it's just a short period, and then it's over. So if glory is given to a man, then it's only going to be for a temporary period. We've got so many people who glory is given. It can be politician, it can be a sports person, it can be whatever. Then when they are good, a lot of glory is given to the person. But once that season is over, nobody talks about them anymore. Maybe some books and maybe some programs, TV programs, but then it's finished, then it's over. So that is if we're talking about the glory of man. So it has got a season and then it stops. But if we take a look at the glory of God, it's eternal. It never stops. There's no end to it. It carries on. Psalm 19 verses 1 also says, the heaven declares the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. So if we take a look at the creation and we see what God has created, and it speaks out of itself, that's glory for God. We do not actually need people to shout the whole day, glory to God, glory to God. What has been created is already glory to God. We can see the glory of God in that what has been created. The example what I want to give over there as well is our youngest. He likes to surf in the water. And then when he's in the water and waiting for the waves to come, and he's thanking the Lord. And he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for the waves. Thank you for the water, that I can enjoy it. So he's really enjoying it. And he's getting the benefit from what God has created. So he's giving glory to God for that. But what is the glory of God? And I tried to have a look and see if I could find a statement. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and the greatness of his manifold perfections. Oof, it's a heavy one. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and the greatness of his manifold perfections. So it means there are quite a few fields where God is perfect in. Manifold meaning many, and then perfections mean that God is perfect in that. So the glory of God is the infinite beauty and the greatness of his manifold perfections. Then I found a statement which is elaborating a little bit on that and helps us a little bit to explain, to understand it. Because what they've done is they took the manifolds, those perfections, those attributes from God, and they mentioned some of them. And that gives us maybe a little bit of an example of what God actually is, the glory of God, what we can see in there. And then it says, God's glory is this, is infinite beauty, and then he's got words over there, holiness, majesty, worth, radiance, wisdom, knowledge, power, vastness, omniscience, grace, love, mercy. It's everything who he is that radiates from him. Take two words of it. Take, for instance, the word knowledge. God knows far, far more as what our references know. I don't know that much. We are fortunate to have three kids. At the moment, I don't know where they are. I don't know what is in their heart at the moment. And I don't know what the future is of the kids. But the Lord knows. He knows that. So I'm just taking one of those words and I'm just showing you how perfect God is in that, in comparison with, I should say, what I know. It's actually a little bit what I know. And I know more or less where they are. The one is in, I think, in London, and the other one somewhere around Cape Town. That's all I know. And I think it's going good with them. But I don't know what's happening with their future. But God knows exactly what's going to happen. So he's perfect over there. Take a look at the other. The one is his holiness. If we take that verse, it's not on one of the scriptures, but I just want to read it. What holiness actually means. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The verse what we always also sometimes what we hear more is, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his. And then you would expect that it would say holiness, because they say holy, holy, holy. But it doesn't say that. It says holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So that holiness is included in that glory. And that's where we've got one of some of those attributes where we can have a look at. But like I said, it's perfect each and every time of each and every one of them. This is trying to explain a little bit of God's glory. We are here to glorify God, to acknowledge him, who he is, and what he's done for us. If we want to glorify God, then we must acknowledge him. If we're not going to acknowledge him, if we're not going to say he is God and he created, we must acknowledge him. We must make it part of our life. As what the testimonies were just now as well, it is, you cannot rejoice in the Lord if you do not have a relationship with the Lord. Because then it's just fake. But you've got a solid reason why you were rejoicing. Because you put God first above your circumstances. And glory can be thought as a mirror that accurately reflects what there is. So if we're doing what with glory, if we're giving glory to God, if we're glorifying God, then we're basically a mirror. We're reflecting the glory of God to other people. And I'll get to that one a little bit later. And then also we glorify God when we demonstrate through word and actions his glorious character and deeds. So we're modeling the character of Jesus in a way to glorify God, because we are showcasing his attributes. To say it in one word, we become Christ-like. So we are acting exactly the same as what Christ is. We're trying to act as much as possible as what Christ has been acting here on this earth. And by that, we are glorifying God. We're doing what God wants us to do, because Jesus did what God wanted to do. So if we're doing what Jesus did, then we're doing what God wants us to do as well. And God will not give his glory to another. We know it in the Old Testament. God is a jealous God. He doesn't share it with anybody else. He is really looking for our attention, and he doesn't want to give it to somebody else. And he's jealous about his glory. In Isaiah 42 verses 8, it also says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. So not a piece of wood. You cannot compare him with that. He is a living God, and his glory is not going to share it. He's not going to give it to another. He's a jealous God. Some people have got a problem with that they say that we are serving a jealous God. But he is a jealous God. He just wants to get our attention. He just wants to have everything or nothing. He doesn't want to share it. And this verse is very straight with that. Because if we're glorifying God, we are listening to what God is doing. We are agreeing what God is telling us. We are submitting to God, and we are obeying what he is telling us to do. So this part of a relationship what we've got when we are glorifying God, it's an interaction what we've got. In Psalm 24, we read about the King of Glory. And then the King of Glory is, yeah, who is the King of Glory? And then the question is asked over there. I just want to read the verses over there. Lift up your heads, O your gates, and be lifted up, your everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O your gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory. Now this verse, what David is writing over there, is about a King of Glory, and we know all who is the King of Glory. That's Jesus, who is the King of Glory. There are different ways of looking at this verse. Some people say it is that we could see it later, that Jesus entered Jerusalem and that he was basically telling that they should open up the doors and lift up the gates, lift up the doors and open up the gates, the other way around, but that at least that Jesus can come in and that they can allow Jesus in and that they can start following him and that they will give control over to Jesus, that they won't be in control themselves anymore. But it's all about, also about our own lives, is that we must open up. Okay, it's maybe totally the opposite, as we're talking about deliverance, about open doors, but it's, we've got to open up to let Jesus in. If we're going too close and we say, no, I want to have my own private stuff, then the King of Glory cannot come in. Then the doors are not going to be lifted and the gates are not going to be open. So the King of Glory, Jesus, we've got to allow him in into our life. And we are here to glorify God. That is the reason why we've been created. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I've made him. And if we take a look at this verse, it is on three different places what God is confirming, that he made us, he created us, and he formed us. So he just wants to say, we are his. We do not belong to somebody else, and we've been made for his glory. That's why he made us, and that's why he has such a lot of interest in us. That's why he wants to have that relationship with us. And again, he created us, he formed us, he made us. He wants to really say, you're mine, and I'm not going to share you with somebody else. And we are here for his glory on this earth, like I just now said, what an Isaiah is, but also to be Christ-like and to be a light, so that we also can reflect the glory, but that we can reflect the light as well, because of course God is light. We can, in Revelation 21 it says, and the city has no need of the sun nor the moon to give light to it, for the glory, the splendor, the radiance of God has illuminated it, and the lamp is its light. And the lamp is its lamp and light. So God is radiating over there. He is light. So glory is light. And we are reflecting that glory and we are reflecting that light. And we've got to reflect that light at our house, where we're staying, at the work that we are doing, the bus, or at the train station, or any other place. We've got to reflect that light over there so that other people can see that light of us. Of that light of us is coming from God. We're reflecting it to other people. I want to show you now a video clip about glory, and then we're going to have a look at the statement which John Piper made. But let's first have a look at the video clip.
The glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. It's the going public of his holiness. It's the way he puts his holiness on display for people to apprehend. The heavens are telling the glory of God. What does that mean? It means he's shouting at us. He shouts with clouds. He shouts with blue expanse. He shouts with gold on the horizons. He shouts with galaxies and stars. He's shouting, I am glorious. Open your eyes. Do you see it? Do you love it? You were made for this. I'm made for this. This is why I exist, to see that. Everything is pointing to that. All the glory that I thought was so attractive is going there. This is all husks and ashes. Now we see through a glass we see and savor and treasure His glory, the riches of His glory. So I ask, do you see it? Do you love it? And I'll say again, you were made for this.
We are made for God's glory. We are made to glorify God. The statement, what I got from John Piper, but I heard other people have also got that statement, is, if I maybe can get that statement, but in the meantime I can read it. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. If we are not satisfied in Him, we are not understanding the total glory of God. We're basically blocking to see the glory. It's not revealed to us. We cannot experience it. We cannot share it. We cannot reflect it, because we are, something is there which is blocking it. Something is there where we're not satisfied about it. And this is what I felt that we should have a look at this afternoon. I'm going to have just now, I'm going to have a long list of things, what, how we can relate to God. And I actually took it out of the bookie from Sias, which is about walking with Jesus. And it's giving you all those points, and it, and the people are asked then to evaluate it and say, okay, how do you relate to God at the moment on that specific point? And then they've got to give a percentage to it, out of 10. And then you can see, okay, those are the things when I'm not totally putting my trust in God. I don't see Him as my counselor. I don't see Him as holy. I don't see Him as faithful. I don't see Him that He's delivering us, or that He's a loving Father, or whatever it is. And if we're not giving full points on all these things to God, then we're basically not satisfied what God is for us at the moment, because we feel there. He still has got to improve over there. He hasn't got to improve. He is perfect. We've got to repent. We've got to say, Lord, I'm giving you a lower point, but it's actually not correct. I made a mistake over there. So that we can repent, that we can say, Father, you are the one who protects us. You are the one who comforts us. You are our Redeemer. You counsel us. You discipline us. You are our Creator. You are full of compassion. You are patient. You are holy. You deliver us. You are a loving Father. And you are a Father of the homeless. You are our friend. You provide for us. You mold and made us. You give me rest. You are faithful. And you are without favorism. If we can say all those things to God, and if we really say He's got a 10 out of 10 over there, then we understand who God is. Then we can see something of that glory, what we just now in that video clip saw as well. When we're going to be face to face with God in heaven, then I think we're really going to understand what it means, the glory of God. But now we're trying to, and what I'm going to ask now is that you're going to have a look at these points, and in your own time, pray about it and say, is there something what I feel, what I'm not totally satisfied with God? I'm not really seeing as my friend. I feel He's a distant away or something like that. Repent of it. And that blockage then which is between you, that it can be removed, that you can be close again, that you can be your friend. If you feel that He is not your Creator, because you think that evolution is a part of it, repent of it. Take it away, that you accept Him as a Creator. Then you can see the glory of God. When you take a look at the creation, yeah, He's the great designer. God is the great designer. And so you can go through all of them and have a look at it and pray about it. Ask the Lord, that the Lord is going to show you, that the Lord is going to reveal you to you which is there, what you've got to bring to Him. That it can be repented of, that it can be taken away, that there can be a restoration between you and God on these points. And that you can then understand the glory of God, or maybe understand it better, the glory of God. I tried this afternoon to explain a little bit of the glory of God, but as I was busy with it as well, I still thought, no, it's, I don't understand it. It's too big. God is, you can't put it in words. I can't put it in words either. But it's just standing in awe again, how great and how awesome he is. And if we know that we cannot actually describe God, we can't put him in a box and limit him. He's far too big for that. And if we can also then share it with other people, reflect it to other people, how we see God, that he's not there just for a Sunday and a Wednesday evening or anything like that. No, he's much more than that. He's a friend, he's a father, he's my partner, he's my co-worker. I'm continuously in contact with him.